Welcome to episode 3 of the Coaching for Leaders Membercast. The Membercast is sponsored by the Coaching for Leaders Academy. If you're ready to excel in your leadership through an outside perspective, supportive relationships, and accountability for your professional and personal goals, then membership in the Coaching for Leaders Academy may be right for you. You can discover more about future Academy openings by visiting coachingforleaders.com/academy. And I'm glad you've joined for the very next episode here of the Membercast. The Membercast is a place where I get to share conversations with our members that we don't normally get to have on the main show, but are really important perspectives on how we can really continue to learn from our leadership development. And today, I'm really excited to welcome someone to the show who's been a part of our listening community for a while. And Melitza is just a great example of how you can take the things you've heard on the Coaching for Leaders podcast and start to implement them on your own and make some really stellar changes with them. And so I'm really pleased to welcome Melitza Simovic, and she is out in the United Arab Emirates and has listened to our show for a while. Melitza, welcome to the Membercast.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me. It's a great pleasure to speak to you, and thanks for giving me the chance to share my experience with other members.
Well, the pleasure is mine. And Melitza, when you reached out to me originally, I guess it was a couple months ago, and sent me an email with what you had done with the show, I was really impressed. And I just thought right away, oh, we should have a conversation and share it with others, just because I think it's really fabulous what you did and how you applied what you learned. But before we get into that, I would just love to know more about your background, and you're in the UAE now, but you didn't grow up there. So tell me more about where you grew up and why you ended up in the UAE.
First of all, thank you very much for kind words. Yes, that's correctly. I am from I am in UAE, but originally I am from Serbia, I have overall maybe a little bit more than 15 years of experience. So 7 years ago, I decided to take all that to be on the road with me and move to UAE, looking for different opportunities. So I started working a little bit for a few years in airlines, and then I decided to move to retail. So past almost 3 years, I am working for one of the international company which is selling the furniture and home furnishing, and it's worldwide famous. And yes, right now I'm here in UAE, so enjoying still.
So you've had a really successful career, as you mentioned, with airlines and now in retail. And one of the things you mentioned in your message to me was that when you started in this position, you actually went through the opportunity to get some feedback and to take an assessment. And I was wondering if you could share what led to that, and then what you discovered by going through that assessment process.
Maybe I can put a little bit more introduction to it. So the company I am at the moment, the store itself, has around 300 employees. And my position is that I'm working with the team and looking after one third of the store, so which is around 100 people, with two managers and six department heads. So it's a pretty big responsibility. Just working there over the last 3 years, less than 3 years, I was fortunate enough actually to get promoted very quickly from one position to another, which required for me to learn a lot of technical knowledge, to implement a lot of technical knowledge, and which I felt that I actually did not put a lot of effort and energy into the personal development. And I felt I have to give much more to my team. So I felt under stress, a little bit overwhelmed. And in certain moments that I'm passing the same manager to my team. So I decided in conversation with my manager, who is, by the way, I have to say, he's amazing person, very supportive. It's not what I'm saying because he might listen, but that's a truth. I mean, he's been 25 years in the company and in different countries, the same company, but different countries, and tremendous experience and really looking after people and all about coaching. So I believe that he himself as well motivates me to look a little bit more onto the soft skills and people skills. So I decided to look into to do certain tests, and one of the tests was a 360 feedback. I think people are mainly familiar with what 360 feedback is, just the basically feedback from the peers, direct reports, and manager, and including yourself as well, that you can compare, see where you stand versus how people others see you. Another task that I wanted to see is like, what are my leadership styles? Do I use more long-term or short-term styles? And do I use most of them or just some? And organizational climate that I create for my team and what I received from my manager. Basically, what I discovered was not surprising for me at that time. It's that I use mainly the short-term styles, and they were mainly called heart attack styles. So basically, the all stress and all energy of what I was feeling while working hard and being overwhelmed, I was again passing to my team. So I decided the change has to happen, and I had a little bit of conversation with my manager on how we can work on that. Do we need to meet more often? What are the problems that we need to tackle, and similar stories. So that is one action. Another action is that I live around 100 kilometers away from the store, so it takes me 2 hours to go and come back from the store. So I decided it was about the time to start listening to podcasts or maybe some audiobooks. And I have to say, I mean, I downloaded many different podcasts, but for some reason, the podcast that you're running, it's really resonated with me. And the reason why is it's very coaching for leaders. It's very easy to listen, and the content is very relevant and valuable to everything that was my particular interest. And obviously, you have a great passion and enthusiasm for the subject itself, and I can feel that through the podcast. So that was what made me stay with your podcast and just explore deeper into the different topics that I was on time to time being interesting in, and depending what I wanted to research even further.
Well, thank you for the kind words, Melissa. I'm really grateful for that. I'm so glad that the show's resonated with you. And as I was thinking about what you were saying, I was thinking back to earlier in my career. I had a very similar thing happen early on, where I got promoted I was waiting to get promoted for a long time and actually got passed over for a couple of promotions. And then I got promoted really quickly to a couple of different levels. And actually, I almost got promoted too quickly, looking back, because it is, as you said, the technical things sometimes are easier to pick up, and our organizations tend to spend a lot of time on those things. But the people side, it really does take time to get the right coaching and to make mistakes and to learn from them and to have the right people giving you feedback. And so it's just not something we get as much training on or coaching on unless we have someone like you have, like where you have a really good manager who's really willing to take the time to do that.
It's not an easy thing also to receive that feedback and look in yourself and say, hold on, whatever I do, it's reflecting to other people, and it's mainly looks like you're having your own children, and people actually follow you and whatever and duplicate everything you do. So you feel like with 100 people, I feel like a huge responsibility of everything I pass to my team, it will be passed to other people. So I don't know about you, but I feel that responsibility as well. So it's not an easy thing to look at yourself and see how can you do better. And One of the podcasts that I was listening, I remember and resonated with me, was with, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that her name was Lieutenant Colonel Jill, not very sure about the last name.
Oh, yes, Colonel Jill Morgenthaler was on the show, former U.S. Army colonel.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And one of the, where it was a question when you ask, how do you motivate people to follow you when you have a difficult assignment to achieve and must be challenging because not maybe a lot of ladies in your position, and how do you work with people? How do you make them follow you? And that was something very similar what I wanted to know and to build in my team. And something very interesting that she said is that she would ask them, how can I reward you? And she will explain further how what she meant by that is every person has a different personality, and we need to treat people differently. So we need to understand what are the drivers and motivators of people that we work with, and use that to lead them and to coach them, actually. And that's actually helped a lot, because sometimes you will try to put the message across to your team and it simply wouldn't work. And you will think maybe it's because people don't like me or people don't like my way. But then you will understand that just talking to them, they might come from the different backgrounds, and they don't understand what exactly you want to tell them until you understand the way they work and the way they react. So it's responsibility of a leader, in my opinion, to get to know their people first and see how they can help them. And not, I don't think that necessarily people have to come to the leader itself and to satisfy the leader. So I don't believe that this is the way things should work, because in my case, it didn't work.
Yeah, well, I think you've hit on something big that is something that a lot of leaders struggle with. I've had so many times in my career where I've had the conversation with a client or a colleague, and the question has come up, well, how do I motivate this person? I don't really understand what their, you know, what makes them tick. And I've often found myself asking that question of, well, have you asked them? And almost never is the answer yes. usually they've treated them the way they'd want to be treated, or they've, you know, maybe they've gotten advice from someone else, but they haven't had that conversation. And so I just think that the fact that you not only heard that from Colonel Morgenthaler, but then were willing to actually go out and try doing that, it sounds like you got a lot of really good insight on what you could do to motivate people.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. I mean, one of the good things that I also had was that usually people don't do things for the two reasons. One is they can't or they won't. And the can't part is very easy, because you only thing you need to do is just to find out, do they have all the resources or tools or trainings they need to do the job. Once you find out that and you find that can't is already learned, and then the same reason comes that people are still not doing what they're supposed to do, then it comes to a want part, and want is already connected to attitude. I was actually, I think we already had a discussion before, you and me, when I was asking, when is the actually time when you gave up on coaching and leadership? And there was a different podcast that you had, when the people were saying, some will say, well, you never give up. Some will say, you take what you can from the relationship, and you move, you take all good and you move forward. But I think I would say that you need to give it the time, the period of time, and make sure that you personally invest everything you could into relationship to change for good, and identify all cans and work on it. And again, as leaders, we are there to support team to do the job better. As long as you don't get back that want part, which is the attitude that then you need to react upon it.
Yeah, indeed. And I know one of the other challenges that you navigated through and getting promoted very quickly is that you ended up managing folks who were previously your peers. And we aired an episode last year with Tom Henschel on how to manage former peers. And you had told me that that was something that that when you heard that, you were like, oh, that was really helpful.
Yeah, I mean, Tom has the great, I think he's a coach himself. I think that, yes, he also had, he's very, very good in the way that he's, I mean, explaining how to work better with them. And again, what you just said before, that sometimes we think that what we think will work for us will work for others. And just literally sitting and trying to get that feedback also from your former peers to see what is the expectations from each other, actually. How they see you and what they expect from you as a new leader, and what do you expect from them? It's actually the first step, I would say. And what I did wrong, and I have to say, is that I skipped that step. So I would go straight implementing what I think that we should change without having that initial meeting and without discussing with the colleagues now direct reports how we should work better together.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think most people skip that step. I've heard from a number of people saying, oh, that's the first time I've ever heard that advice because sadly, it's not something that I think happens very often. And when it does, it can be really powerful to set a framework for a strong relationship going forward. So I'm glad you attempted that and did some of that.
And actually, I would, I mean, if I can add here, when you're talking about the podcast itself, I would like to go back to tell you more how did I work with the podcast that you and your wife are recording as well. It's that I would go with the certain topics that were applicable to the situations that I want to look for more, different situations like how you motivate people, how you work with your former peers, finding your why, Simon Sinek, one of the podcasts that you have with him as well. And then I would, in certain points, you will mention certain books as well. Dale Carnegie, the institute that you worked with as well. So this is the moment when I would stop and I will go back to the book itself to try to understand where are you coming from with this, why you're saying what you're saying. So it's not only just listening what you're saying, but I'll try to understand what is what you read and what are the your guests actually on the cast, the podcast as well, why they're saying what they're saying. So it's more about understanding and then implementing. So, of course, again, I will use the audible and I will use on the while I'm driving. So listening the same podcast and the books as well, which is actually 2 hours of my day will go on learning and development. And after 6 months, I want to say that I redone the test, all 3 tests that I just mentioned, and actually found out that all leadership styles moved from the short term to the long term ones, which made me extremely happy. And that was the moment when I said, well, I would like to get in touch with you and to give you feedback on that, because I felt great about it. I felt so motivated. I felt, Dave and the Coaching for Leaders, the whole podcast is doing the great thing for me. And I'm sure there are plenty of other people there that you've done the great things for. So I just wanted to share that feedback with you. And thank you for that.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm really honored. And you did the work. So, you know, my job as in hosting the show, there's a saying that there are people in the world who are lights, and there are people in the world who reflect that light. And I really see my job as being a reflector of the wisdom, of the experiences, of the wonderful thinking of the experts that I have the privilege to talk to on the show. And it's so exciting to hear when our listeners take action with that and do something with it to really make change. And I'm so curious too, because, you know, a lot of folks who listen, listen to the show and then they want to implement the things that they're learning. And I think that many people have varying levels of success at doing that. We have many listeners I talk with regularly who have done what you've done and really made some great, great implementations. And then I also know we have listeners who listen and, you know, they struggle with that. And so I'm curious, in addition to having read some of the books and reading the audiobooks when you're on your drives, how did you discipline yourself to hear something on the show or hear something in one of the books that was mentioned and then actually make it a part of your behavior with your team on a daily basis?
Yeah, that's a great question. And thank you for the question. I think the discipline came from, I wouldn't use the word frustration, but when you're trying so hard with your team and you feel that things are not happening, and then you feel like, well, let me start with me. So the change has to happen with me. If I want my team to lead, to follow what I believe in, then I should be an example. So if I want them to change and if I want them to learn more, then I should do that as well and share what I'm doing with them so they can follow. So that was the biggest motivator. And no matter how hard it is, and I know people must be busy. And again, this is an example. I mean, while driving, I was listening to it. And obviously, my working day is 9 hours and driving is 2 additional hours. So it's a long day, but you still find the time instead of listening to music. Maybe people would prefer again music, depends, but there are always time and there shouldn't be an excuse, and it's something that benefits to yourself. And again, I just say, lead by example. So if you want people to do this, just start doing yourself first.
Yeah. Oh gosh, wonderful advice, Melissa. And you've narrowed in on some of the key pieces of personal responsibility and taking action. You know, so I hear so many people say that I don't have the time to read. I can't make time for it. And yeah, you found a way, you know, through your long commute is a blessing and a curse, maybe some days, but a blessing in that you actually get a lot of time to learn while you're on the road. And that's something I actually miss. I don't drive nearly as much as I used to. And I miss that learning time that I used to have on the road. So, and you hit on something really huge too. You know, we had mentioned Carnegie earlier in this conversation, and I've taught, as you know, for years out of Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And a lot of times when people come into the classroom for a training program with Carnegie, they, you know, they hear that book title and they hear the title of the course and they say, oh, I'm going to get a lot of great strategies on how to change other people. And what they discover very quickly is the whole course is about how do you change yourself? And by changing yourself, then you change others. But you have to start with yourself first, because that's really the key to influence. And you've just done that so brilliantly. And that's one of the reasons I'm so impressed with the changes you've made, because you've really zeroed in first as a leader of what do I need to do to change my perspective, how I communicate, how I think. And then that's what leads to the change of the people around you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for that. And as I said, it's never easy. And for advice for everyone who listened to the member cast is that no one really enjoys receiving feedback that's not so great. And it's something that actually either we can ignore or we can say, well, it's something that you can take for yourself to build on it. And then the reward is amazing. I mean, you feel great about it. And the learning actually never stops. And I mean, I bet then in 3 years from now, I will look back and say, well, I done many things wrong or differently than I would do today. So it's just, and what I learned when I was younger is, actually, that comes from the surroundings. Well, that people usually, when we are angry, we are always angry with ourselves first. Mm. And if you use that, is if something doesn't work, we need to ask ourselves first why it didn't work, and then find a way how we can help our people to make it better. So I would say, even if the mistake happened, and now in my surrounding at work, we actually love mistakes. We believe that people are allowed to make mistakes because they learn from them. But even if the mistakes happen, we wouldn't ask people why mistakes happen. We will look into what we could do better next time, so those mistakes doesn't happen. So I think if we surround ourselves with if we are privileged enough to have that kind of surrounding, it's rewarding and it just makes everyone grow. So by investing in myself, I believe that it's only me who benefits out of it, my team as well, and we all grow together. So that's what I believe, and I hope it's going to work.
Yeah, well, it will. It will with that kind of attitude and orientation. You know, it's one of the real privileges of leadership and opportunities is if we are willing to better ourselves, we do then get to influence the people around us. And speaking of books, one of my all-time favorite books that I read probably 20 plus years ago, and we were talking about Tom Henschel earlier, I know it's one of his favorite books too, is a book called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Susan Jeffers. And the title says it all of being a great leader is not about eliminating fear. And by the way, being a great human being is not about eliminating fear. It's feeling it. And in spite of the fear of moving forward. And that's what I really hear in your story is, you know, you had tough feedback. You heard things you didn't necessarily want to hear. And yet, in spite of that, you move forward, you found ways to learn and to grow, even with the time you're on the road. And I'm just so impressed with what you've done. And I'm really grateful that you've taken the time to share your story with us. And I know it's going to inspire other folks who are listening to this to figure out the best way for them to take action on reading, on putting things into practice, on getting feedback. I just think it's going to be a real fabulous conversation for our listeners.
Thank you for that, and thanks for sharing one more book. So that's going to be in the next book on my list.
Perfect.
And, well, of course, I'm not even half through of the podcast because I've been listening only for a year. So I will be I'm sure there's many great things that, and I'm sure we'll be talking again soon with the new experiences. So thank you one more time for doing this great thing for many people, and I really hope that many people can benefit as I did from the podcast.
As I tell folks all the time, there's no greater compliment to the work I do and to the honor and the privilege to get to do this than having folks like you, Melissa, who write in and tell me all the great things they've done with it. So I am truly honored. Thank you so much. And absolutely, our conversation is going to continue. And I can't wait to hear more about your career as the years go on. It's going to be a ton of fun.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Melissa, for reaching out to me and for all the great things you've done with the lessons you've gained from the Coaching for Leaders podcast. And if you, like Melissa, are looking for ways that you can continue to support your leadership development this year and beyond, I'd certainly encourage you to also consider the Coaching for Leaders Academy. If you're looking for the kind of support that's objective, gives you the relationships and the accountability for your personal and professional goals, not only from other participant leaders, but from me personally, then you may want to check out the Academy and see if it's a right solution for you. You can find out more about our future openings at coachingforleaders.com/academy. Thanks for listening, and I will see you for the next MemberCast.